Hey friends, my name is Emily, and you are listening to the Oh, I'm Lonely podcast. This is my podcast where I unpack all the big feelings I have that usually boil down to loneliness and disconnection from various aspects of my life, from career, communities, loved ones, or sometimes just being plain old alone. This is where we talk about all the different places loneliness creeps its sweet BB self into, and I try to understand what story the loneliness is trying to tell me. So please, join me, because even though it's lonely here, you aren't alone.
I have been... I've only just hit record, and I sure have been talking for the last 20 minutes. Cool, cool. Hi, friends. Hi, friends. Welcome back to the podcast. How are we? Me? Losing my goddamn mind a little bit. Hi. Welcome back to Oh, I'm Lonely. Finding purpose in our loneliness. So it's been a bit of time since I recorded last, since I uploaded last. I think the last thing I put up was January, maybe February. It was my last episode was with Miss Lindsay Heather Pierce, one of my best friends. And I think you guys really liked that episode because I keep seeing that one being downloaded all the time. So I'm going to have Lindsay come back because I know her people love her so much. Sorry, I'm a little frazzled because I actually was talking for like 25 minutes and I realized the thing that said ready to record when you are still saying that rather than recording. Anyway, yeah, so I've been quite absent and I do apologize for that. Life has just been lifing over here. Eclipse season and Mercury retrograde in this last past month kicked me ass. So I've just been kind of trying to find my new normal. New normal because I had a really exciting January, February, March where I made my off-Broadway debut and it was fucking dope. It was really, really fun. I got to work with this wonderfully weird, funny, hilarious group of guys, these good, good boys. I'm sure you know them. They're called Lou Burger. And they are a musical comedy trio. And they wrote a musical. And I got to be part of it. And I got to help create different moments and different harmonies and musical moments. And all of those also got to be on a cast recording. I got to do a cast fucking recording. So cool. And I'm hoping in the future I can have one, two, maybe three of them on. Probably not all together because that would be absolute chaos, more so than this episode right now. It was really, really fun. It was chaotic. It was wackadoo. I got to be unhinged as hell. And I will leave links to videos, the cast recording and their Instagrams all down below. Just so if you don't know who they are, you can check them out. But basically the show was about friendship. It was about lunacy. It was about how your different elements that kind of make you quirky and make you you can sometimes be acted negatively if they're seen in that way. But then they can also be the thing that makes your friendship as special and as unique as most friendships are. And if the guys are listening to this, they're probably like, girl, you're making that much more deep. And probably because I'm an overthinker and I have ADHD. And ADHD is absolutely going to be a podcast episode. Speaking of podcasts, so this podcast, this Sweet Baby podcast, wow, I love it. And I love that y'all love it. I have not been consistent with it. And that breaks my heart. But it also is a podcast that I'm trying to remember is a bit of a passion project. But also, like, I know it helps people. It helps me during some really hard moments. But also, like, I've interviewed friends and colleagues that have just really beautiful things to tell about their loneliness and how they've experienced it in life in different aspects. And I have that still. And I'm like, I'm not letting this go to waste because The time that these people gave me is precious, and I want people to hear these stories. So I've got maybe like four or five interviews. And by the time I'm done those and I've recorded individual podcasts in the interim, maybe I'll have more to say. Maybe I won't. Maybe that's where the podcast will end. I don't know. But if you guys still want it, if y'all still want it, and you help give me some ideas, or you suggest people to interview, then by all means, let's keep this shit going. Because even when Gabe comes home to live with me again after his contract is up, I'm even going to be living with him during the summer when he's in cities that are closer by. You know, that doesn't mean my loneliness goes away. Just because your partner comes home after being gone for a year and a fucking half doesn't mean the loneliness goes away, because I think, as we've seen in this podcast, in an audio medium, I think as we've heard on this podcast, is that loneliness creeps up in all different areas of our lives. And I've been feeling very, very lonely lately. I've been feeling lonely in my work. I've been feeling lonely in my ADHD. I've been feeling lonely as a dog mom. I've been feeling lonely in my proximity to the city. I've been feeling lonely. God, the thing that I've been feeling so freaking lonely in relationships. I've been feeling lonely in I just keep thinking my career, because I'm like, what do I even want anymore? And which is really, really sad. But at the same time, like, it's enlightening, right? Like, loneliness is just part of life. It's like, I'm good. Like, I'm okay. I'm safe. I feel like people, especially my mom, if you're listening to this, like, I feel like when they hear these episodes, they're like, how are you? And I'm like, girl, we're all lonely. Just admit it. Like, I'm fine. Can't I just talk about it? Because I think on the episode that I had with Lindsay, it's like, I think we said this, but if not, Lindsay and I have said this to each other. It's like, when you name the thing, when you just name the thing, it becomes less of a thing. Like, when you see the monster, when you see it and you name it and you say it's there, the monster doesn't seem as scary anymore. And I think loneliness is a lot like that. So fuck it. We're going to keep this podcast going. The podcast is going to keep going. I don't know why I'm saying it's not. And like, please send me your suggestions of what makes you lonely. Please DM me voice memos. If you want a voice memo to be shared on the podcast and we'll talk about it, or if you want to send in questions and like, I don't know, advice. I don't know what kind of fucking advice I can give. I don't know what I'm doing half the time, but you know, send your shit into me. Like, let's talk. Let's make this a conversation. Because even on these solo episodes, like, I am pretending that you're here with me. I am trying not to just speak into the ether. I'm trying to connect with y'all through what's making me specifically lonely. And all this to say, we're 10 minutes into the episode, and what are we going to talk about today? Well, if this goes as I want it to, this episode is going to be the first of my, I think, three episodes in June. And we all know what June is. June is motherfucking birthday month for me. No, but more, yes, I mean it is. I'm a Gemini. Hi. Is it clear? Gemini Sun, Taurus, rising Leo Moon. But more importantly than my birthday, it's Pride Month. And this year, my God, is Pride Month under fucking attack. So I want to talk about it being me being gay. Oh my God, did you clutch your pearls? Yes, I am queer. And in this episode, even if further episodes, we're not talking specifically about queerness, I will be having queer people on who I have interviewed, because that's another way to like celebrate queerness, is we don't have to specifically talk about being queer. We can just be queer and be talking. because both are valid. I want to talk about being queer, and that might be surprising to people who maybe just don't really know me and have heard me talk about a husband. Yes, that's also possible. I am what we call a bisexual. A bisexual woman who is in a pretty seemingly hetero-presenting relationship. But nope, I am bi, and I came out very late in life, as I feel like many people are doing these days. And some, and then you've got Gen Z and Gen whatever below it, Gen Z is, literally like just like, we don't need to come out. And I'm like, good for you. But I felt trapped inside my body for years, so I feel the need to tell everyone. So yes, I am recently out. I think pretty recently. I came out to a very small group of people in February of 2021. Specifically, I came out to Gabe and Lindsay first. I came out to Lindsay first and then Gabe, because Lindsay was really helping me and guiding me through just what it was like that I was feeling, and that I felt trapped in my own body. And so during the pandemic, Lindsay and I would call each other all the time, and we would FaceTime each other. And then, you know, we kind of got like a lot of our talks, of course, at the beginning of the pandemic of like early 2020 were just about like the world and how scary it was and blah, blah, blah. And I feel like both of us kind of got to this point where we're like, we need to talk about something else. Like, we need to start fulfilling ourselves, because who knows how long we'll be doing this for. So like, what could we do? And I had been wanting to start this book called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. And I got this book in college and I never got rid of it. It was one of those books I thought I had to buy, and then realized it was more like not required reading, but like strongly suggested. And I just never got rid of it. And I'm really happy I didn't, because it just helped unlock a lot of things that were going on with me. And I felt like I was like really creatively like burnt out, and I felt like I was never being authentic to myself. But I couldn't pinpoint why. I could not, for the life of me, I could not pinpoint, like I couldn't get to it. I was just like, why am I getting in my own way? Why am I wishing so hard for those around me to feel the strength to be authentic, yet I feel like I'm lying? I feel like I'm skirting around the issue. Like, I just felt like I could never fucking say it. And because I didn't know what it was. That's how deep my queerness was buried down within me. And anytime I would think, is it because I'm gay? I'd go, fucking no, I got a fucking husband. And it's really funny, because there's this one part of Artist's Way. So it's basically like this, it's kind of like a 12-step program. It's designed like that, where every week you're kind of like approaching a new big lesson to kind of push through and work through that could be blocking your creativity. And within like the first, I want to say like the first two chapters, there was like this whole section of being like reasons why you don't want to do The Artist's Way. And one of the reasons was like, because you'll find out you're gay. And I was like, what? I'm not fucking gay. Like, I had that, like, that was my thought. And I, as soon as like that thought went through my mind, I went, oh shit. Because I learned that people who are fully straight, which is like, who's fully straight? But people who identify solely as heterosexual are like, yeah, I've never had that thought before. I've never thought maybe I'm queer, maybe I'm gay. And I'm like, oh. So the finger's pointing back at me. Okay, cool. So after a lot of digging, a lot of soul searching, I finally was able to put words to it. And will that evolve further in the future? Maybe. But as of right now, the word that feels good to me is bisexual. I came out on Super Bowl Sunday, like the straightest day of the year, LOL. And I finally said it out loud to Lindsay. And then I got off the phone with her And I pretty quickly said to Gabe, I was just like, Gabe, I have something to tell you. And I think he could see it in my eyes. And then I just kept getting choked up. And he goes, are you coming out to me? And I was like, did you just come out for me? Yes, it's something we've talked about. I'm not just dragging him. So Gabe came out for me. So I came out to two very important people in my life that day. And then in the coming weeks, I came out to people who are really in my inner circle and who I felt really safe to say it to. And I feel really lucky that there was nobody in that immediate circle who questioned me, who said anything along the lines of it's just a phase and all that, because the more I was unpacking with myself, the more I realized that I had tried to come out earlier in my life and I was told it was a phase. And the people who I thought, the friends who I thought I was safe with to say such things to, told me that it was not real. And what a shame. What a shame for poor young Emily to not have that opportunity to experience that part of her life at those beautiful, awkward ages. But I think to myself all the time that if I had come out earlier in my life, I don't know what would have happened, right? You can't help but think that. I grew up in a very Catholic household. Things have gotten better in my relationships with people in my family. But at that time, I don't know what it would have been like if I had come out. I just don't. I don't know how I would have felt in the church. I don't know. I will say that my coming out to family members did not go as planned. And it was painful and it required a lot of growth and a lot of healing, and all of which are still happening, and a lot of growth is still happening. Hence my villain era of laying down boundaries when I want them and when I need them. And I've become so much stronger for it, but it's not something I wish I had to go through to be strong. But yeah, it is what it is. I can't change. This is the story that I have. I'm very proud of the people who have evolved and are working through it. And I'm still waiting on other people to evolve with it, because I'm the time is ticking and I'm continuing to move. Are you going to move with me? Coming out later in life, especially when you are already in such a privileged group of being a white woman, a white cis woman, I really felt like I didn't have the right. And that was fucking lonely, because I felt like I was lying to myself. I felt like I was just in a room, an empty room, that I was just echoing sadness, because I felt this emptiness, because I couldn't put a word to it for so long, because I also felt like I'm not allowed to have this. I'm not allowed to come out this late in life after I've become married to a straight man. I'm not allowed to claim my queerness when maybe I'm not quote unquote all that queer. So yeah, I felt like I wasn't allowed. I felt like who am I to take up space from other people? Who am I to claim that I should be here? Part of me really battled with the idea of, am I doing this for attention? Is this a phase? Because listen, ADHD, I do go through phases. I go through phases of crafting. I go through phases of interests. I go through phases of food. I go through phases of obsessive watching or listening of things. But the thing that has never shifted is this feeling of not belonging because I'm lying to myself. That has never shifted. And if anything, now I'm feeling more and more grounded in a community. Even if I don't have those people around me all the time, I feel like I'm putting my foot down in the sand in a place that I've always needed to put my foot in the sand for. It's just necessary. I didn't have growing up, I didn't have any type of representation of bisexuality that maybe even for a younger person, right? Like, I didn't watch The L Word when I was growing up. I didn't watch, I watched Will and Grace, which had like gay representation. And it was great that we had that. But at the same time, like, I was like, well, I'm not Jack. I'm kind of, do I want to be more like Karen? Like, but Karen, come on. Karen's a gay icon. Karen is very bisexual. But I didn't have anything to see that made me go, oh, that's like me. Like, I feel that way. And if I had something like, God, if I had something like Heartstopper that's on Netflix, and if you haven't watched that, please, if you have children that are gay, mom, watch it. Please, mom, watch it. I'm begging you. Heartstopper is one of the best shows I think I've ever watched. And I think it's because when I was watching it, it wasn't me watching. It was little Emily was watching it. Because finally, I was seeing kids who were queer figuring it out in their own self. And like the fact that, and like how the character Nick is just, he's struggling so hard. He cannot figure out what these feelings are. He's just digging and digging and digging. And he's like, I don't understand how I can be watching a scene. And like in his show, his scene of like the bi panic of like, who do I think is hot? Who do I want to be with? I remember watching the scene where he's watching Pirates of the Caribbean with Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley, which I'm like, girl, same. where it's a very like, it's kind of like the heated scene in Pirates. And it is, it's full on bi panic because Keira Knightley is hot, hot, hot. Orlando Bloom is hot, hot, hot. And you're just like, who is the one that I would like to kiss? And so when he's experiencing that and he's next to his mom, like, I just like, if only I had seen this when I was young, if only I had seen this when I was a teenager, just would it have been as hard to come out? Would it have been as scary? Probably, because especially then it was like still not the, it was not as easy as it is now to come out. And that was like early aughts, like 2009, 2008. It was still kind of scary then. I feel like it's gotten less scary now to come out. And because I feel like there's just so many more avenues to come out now, like TikTok, Instagram, like all those places to come out, because you see people who are like, I am bi, I am pan, I am trans, I am like, I, this is who I am. And if you like it, you can get with it and celebrate me because I'm celebrating me. And if you don't, you can go fuck off. And I love that. And once I finally figured it out and started to unpack the intense, and I kid you not, the intense inner homophobia, internalized homophobia, I wanted to be that for other people. I know I'm not a perfect representation because who the fuck is, but like I wanted to just be another voice out there for people to go, that's me too. And so, or I feel that way too. That's who I am. And I'll never forget, and because I honestly give so much credit to this one video I saw on TikTok. I'll play a little bit of it right here.
Has anyone else spent the majority of their life identifying as a heterosexual person, but as they got older, realized that maybe they're a little bit less heterosexual than they thought, and maybe a little bit more pansexual or bisexual, but now they're in a very loving, committed heterosexual relationship with someone they adore and don't want to not be with, so they don't really see the point in coming out because it's not going to change the way that they live their life. And as a queer person in a cishet relationship, they'll never understand or go through some of the struggles that people in non-cishet relationships will have gone through and continue to go through. And so they don't feel like they deserve to take up space at the LGBTQIA table because, you know, they haven't really earned it because of their lifestyle or who they ended up with. So now they're just kind of chilling with this knowledge and just keeping it to themselves. Just me.
But what I loved about this video is that it truly encompassed what I personally was going through. No thoughts are original. But this woman is saying, does anybody else experience, is anybody else like thinking that they're queer, but they don't feel like they're queer enough because they're in a very happy, hetero-seeming relationship, and that's very fulfilling, but there is just this part of you that feels like you've missed out, but then you don't feel like you're queer enough, and you don't want to take up space because there are people who need that space, and they need that community more than you because you have community, but even though that community that you're in doesn't feel like it's fulfilling all of your needs because you're not actually being yourself totally, like you're kind of hiding. Like the things that she was just saying, it was like ding, 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 like everything I was feeling. And then there were other people. There was my friend Carrie Dayton came out as bisexual on her YouTube. And I remember when Ingrid Nielsen came out on YouTube like years ago, I was weeping. And I never had experienced that before because I had never experienced like weeping when someone came out because I was clearly so connected to it but didn't understand why I was so connected. And I was like, if I can be that light for other people, I want to. Because we exist. We're not trying to steal your man. We're not trying to steal your wife. Like we're just here existing. And this among the countless others, especially our trans and non-binary brothers and sisters who are experiencing this to the 100 millionth degree with all of this legislation that is going against the trans community and drag performers. And it's just, I don't think I can get into it because I'll just fucking see red. And I don't know what else I could say that hasn't been so eloquently put by the people who are literally on the front lines of this fight. Not only trans voices, especially Black trans voices, because that community is in the most danger, endangered. I don't know if saying endangered is the right way to say it, but like those are the people who the threats are going to the most. And it's all because people are taking up space. It's all because people are starting to stand in their truth. They're not sitting in their truth anymore. They're not lying down in their truth anymore. They're not going to the graves with their truth anymore. They are saying it out loud and they're saying and they're screaming their truths. They're putting their truths in people's faces who cannot handle their own truth. That is what these far right wackadoos are afraid of. They are afraid of people standing in themselves so authentically, like radically authentic in who they are and what they believe and how they want to be seen in the world and how they want to feel. And those people who are so close-minded are so repressed in their own shit, whether it's queerness or not, whether it's just like being stifled from things that they want to try or things that they want to explore or how unhappy they are. Like that fear just is just encompassing all of the things that they can't be, they feel like they cannot be loud about. And it's turned into violence and it continues to turn into violence. That's why stores like Target have taken things off the walls. I mean, they're saying it's because they want to protect their employees.
Personally, I think it's because they don't want to have to deal with the loud, small population of crazies that are rioting in their establishments. But the question I have is, what are all the people who had so much to say about BLM protests, you know, when their one thing that they would say over and over again is, well, you shouldn't be destroying property. What are they saying about this in Target, right? Like, are they defending? Is anything even being said about the property that is being destroyed? Literally ripped off the shelves and thrown onto the ground, stepped on, displays being destroyed, like people being harassed to their cars. Like, I could bet you it's crickets in that department. Someone please prove me wrong.
You know, it just goes to show it doesn't matter how many years a corporation has been putting out pride stuff. What are you going to do when it gets really scary? Are you going to stick up for this community? Are you going to put your feet in the sand? Are you going to say, no, we're going to protect our own. We're going to protect our people. We're going to protect the communities that we're here celebrating. And you loud tantrum having fear mongering brats, we don't want your business. How about that? How about us like just telling the awful people that we don't want them around anymore? Because who wants to be hanging out with a bully, right? Like, who wants to be like, who wants them around? Queer people, like trans, non-binary folk, lesbian,
gay, bisexual, pansexual, intersex, asexual, all of the above.
Everyone within the community, we've all been here. We're just tired of having to like not say we're here. So why is that such a threat to you? We're not taking anything away from you. We're just trying to make our lives a little better by saying who we are and what we're about. And the thing that's so fucking frustrating is that, like, if I had felt safe enough to say all this when I was younger, damn, my life could have been so much more full. I sometimes think that if I had come out earlier in life, maybe I wouldn't be here anymore. I don't know. That was kind of like my first thought. But what if we turned that around? If I had had the opportunity to feel safe to come out earlier in life, what could I be? How much stronger could I be? How much more in tune with my own needs could I be? We've got these horrible politicians saying don't say gay and don't teach children about queerness, whether they are gay or straight or if they've got family members who are queer or parents who are queer, like what we're just supposed to like exist, like pretend those people don't exist. No. We pretended that long enough. We pretended ourselves. A lot of us have pretended that it didn't exist until, you know, our souls were eating itself inside out and we finally said it the fuck out loud. But yeah, like I'm looking at this little, I've been keeping this picture of little me. I'm so fucking cute. It's my first performance, my first public performance, like on a stage, and it was for a talent show. And I was supposed to be a little lion because it was for like The Lion King. Great film. Have you heard of it? Half the class were little lions dressed as Simba, by the way. I was dressed as a male character. I have a mane, so technically I'm dressed as a male character. Would that even be allowed in schools now? Like even things like that. Like I'm looking at myself and I'm like, I was dressed like Simba because I've got a lion's mane around my head. And only male lions have manes. Is that drag? I'm looking at that and I'm like, girl, you a drag queen. Would that shit be allowed? Like these are like, this is how minute it gets. This is the expression we're going to be taking away from children just wanting to play. But regardless, I'm looking at this and I'm seeing it and I'm like, this is my first performance. And I remember having the best time. And I think that was a little spark of being like, I want to do this forever because fuck, this feeling of everyone clapping for me, this feels good. And I'm making people laugh and I'm making people smile. And I'm sure in that moment, at that young, young age, I was authentically who I was. The amount of times that I would play with friends and want to play the male character so he could save the girl, so that he could when we were playing Titanic, I was always playing Jack. And yes, we did play Titanic. We played it on the slide and we acted as if the slide were them. So dark. We would act as if the slide was like the ship and we'd like hold on to each other as the one person would slide. Fuck me. One person would slide down the slide as if it was like that moment when
Rose's maid is like holding on, and then she falls and she's like goes to her watery grave. But we would play that because the movie came out when I was in second grade, and I sure did see it in the movie theater. Talk about buy panic. Oh my God, I felt it then. What a realization. Truly felt it then. Like, I definitely felt it during Pirates of the Caribbean, but I sure as hell did feel it when I was like 7 years old watching Titanic. And both took place on ships, and I used to perform on cruise ships. These are some weird lines that are being connected. Also, this is editing me doing this, so there's a lot more realizations that I'm having as I'm editing this podcast. I didn't know that there was a world where a woman could save another woman, where a woman could love another woman. So I wanted to play that male, that like masculine character who saved the girl. And I was so authentically me. And everybody was like, oh, she's a tomboy. Yeah, part ways. Like, I'd like to get roughed up in the mud. And, like, I had three brothers, so I'd, like, fight and everything like that. But then, like, I was also very soft and sensitive, and I still am. And I'm just like, where could you be now, little M, if you had just had the space and the environment like we have now? That it's just not as big of a fucking deal. Until it is with these fucking crazy Republicans. But it's just, it's a lonely feeling. You know, it's a lonely feeling to know that I never had a girlfriend. It's a lonely feeling knowing that I didn't have that. But I also feel like my life is not over, because I learned this later in life, that it's just a new start. It's very complicated in a lot of ways, but it's also a new start. I feel I'm in such a place of privilege where I have a husband who's more than any version of supportive that I thought I would have in this aspect of my life. Like Gabe tells me all the time, he's like, he's like, even when we were just like best friends, like, he's like, I always knew that something, like, there was something about you that you hadn't discovered yet. Felt like there was something else. And he was like, and I was just excited for the day that you felt safe enough to say it to me. And so I think that's when I came out and he basically said it for me. I think that's why, it's because he'd been waiting for so long for me to say it for myself, and that he couldn't contain himself because Gabe also has ADHD and is impulsive. I fully recognize that privilege, because there are people who are in marriages that if they said that they were queer, that marriage would be over. And so I'm very lucky that I found a person that wants to help me figure this out, wants to help me experience life completely. I'm very grateful for him, and I'm very grateful that I have a partner that might be more excited that I'm queer than the queer person themselves. Like, he might be more excited that I'm bisexual than I am. But I think it's just because he saw me struggle for so long in trying to figure it out. And I'm very happy that, I mean, I feel like we probably had talks about it. Yeah, we did. Cause I would talk about things like, I just feel like I'm not fully straight, like, a lot of the time. And words of the wise, apparently straight people don't think like that. But yeah. So I've been fully out for 2 years now, like 2.5 years now. And I came out publicly online, which ruffled more feathers. Who fucking cares? I just received so much love. I received so much love from people I barely know. Maybe I had a couple interactions with through like DMs, but like I barely knew. And then some people I'd never met ever. And then friends who have known me for a long time that were just like, fuck yeah. You know, I think it goes to show that like I've cultivated a very small but mighty and beautiful community of people who have my back. And so I felt like I wanted to have your back if you're listening to this and you are queer and you maybe haven't come out, or you've come out to yourself, or you don't plan on coming out, or you hate yourself because you know you're queer and you fucking will never come out, but you, God, do you hate yourself for it? I've fucking been there. It is a lonely place to be. And if that is you, I just want the best for you. I want to hold you. I want to hug you. I want to make you feel so much love, because that is a lonely, isolated place to be. It's like a place that, like, you feel like you're screaming and nobody can hear you. But I hear you, because I've been there. I hope one day that you can come out to yourself and learn to love yourself, even if you never come out to anybody else. You don't have to come out. Sometimes it's absolutely not safe to come out. So I beg you, please don't come out. Especially now in some of these red states, in some of these southern states, like, please be careful. Be careful with who you tell. Be careful with who you trust. Because until shit calms down, and I think it will, and I have to believe that we will win this fight, because if anything, queers are fucking, we are going to fight until the bitter end, because we have always. There are more of us and those that love us than there are of those that hate us. And they hate us because we are stepping into a truth. And in my mind right now, I'm minimizing the truth that I'm stepping into, because I feel like I still battle with that feeling of, I'm not queer enough to be saying this, but I am. Because if I'm queer, I'm queer enough. If you're queer, you're queer enough. It doesn't matter. There is no percentage. It just is. So you're valid. You're enough. And here in my space, in my internet space, you are safe. And I think the people I surround myself with, especially online, you are safe there too. If you feel like you can't go to people in your real life, you can always, like, get lost in our little scroll for a while until you're able to go back into the sunlight, you know. Pride Month is extremely celebratory. We've got parades, we've got drinking, we've got celebrations, we've got merchandise, we've got, like, all of this shit. But when it comes down to it, Pride was a riot. Pride was about saying, fuck you, I'm done. Fuck these raids. Fuck you telling me I can't wear what I want to wear. Fuck you telling me that I can't do what I want to do. I am fed up with lying, and I am fed up with you pushing me past my breaking point. And not to mention, it was led by Black, brown, trans humans in our community. Marsha P. Johnson, Sylvia Rivera, Stormé DeLavery, and Miss Major Griffin Gracie, just to name a few. It was the most marginalized in our community who took the bravest steps that we can imagine so that we can wear rainbows down the street. It can get better. By the pettiness we hold in our bones, it will get better. And sometimes you have to be the one to make it better. In any small way you can. Any small way of joy you can find, any small, like, thing that just gives you joy. I'm looking at this adorable little pin, the beautiful humans in my community, Megan. Megan, if you're listening to this, hey girl. Megan gave me at one of my last shows at Lou Burger in The Wizard of Friendship. And it's this little puppy that is just, like, encoded in the bisexual colors. And I fucking love this thing. I just wanted to put it somewhere where I'd see it, like, on random times on my desk. And so I connected it to this organizer thing that I have. And I'm like, oh, right. Hi, I am bi and I'm cute. I'm so grateful, number one, that she gave me that gift. She did not have to do that. And I love looking at it. And also, it's just a reminder that, like,
the words that I've said, the words, the things that I've put out there have impact. You know, like I connected with someone and that impacted their lives in a positive way. And I hope that this does that for you. I have no idea. It's almost been an hour. I did not think I'd talk for an hour, but also me. So of course I did. I don't know where I was going with this. And I feel like I kind of went all over the place. And I feel like I didn't really even get into all the things that bisexuals go through in terms of erasure and stuff. And I'd actually like to talk to another bi about it. Hi, gay. I'd love to have a conversation with someone so we can have a back and forth, because I just feel like I'm on a loop now. Yeah, we're here. We're queer. We've always been here. We've always been queer. Get the fuck used to it, or get out. Or get out. There's the door, Louise. Please stay safe this Pride. I want people to celebrate so much. I want to go to parades. I want people to go to clubs. I want all of this. I want all of it. But I'm scared. That's my fears, because the world is a fucking scary place. But we deserve our joy. We deserve to protect our peace. We deserve to dance with our friends. We deserve to get drunk if we want to. We deserve to like want to play and we're like get our boobs out. Like we should be able to do these things. Danger feels so present. So all I ask is that please stay safe. Please protect each other. Hold each other close. Fight for each other. Stay safe. But also stand up for what you believe in if you feel the strength to, because that's also important. I just like felt so mama bear, and I want to hold whoever's listening to this that feels really lost and feels really lonely in their queerness right now. Like, I just want to hold you and I want to celebrate you. So in whatever ways you're able to do that, whether it's by funny memes, by videos, by listening to podcast episodes like this, by learning about queer history, I implore you to do that. And if it's going to a club, going to a parade and dancing your ass off and putting glitter all over your body, and it will show up for the rest of your life because you can never get glitter out completely. It stays with you. I hope that you have that. And I hope that you hold on to that joy and put it in your pocket and go back to it every single time you feel lonely. Thank you so much for listening. I love you. I really fucking do. We're going to get through this time, and we're going to have a great Pride, because we deserve to. I completely forget how I close these out. Until next time, my friends. Love you. Bye.
Thank you so much to tuning into this installment of Oh, I'm Lonely. I hope you feel a little more connected than you did before. Today's episode was produced, hosted, and edited by yours truly. Check me out on social media if you want, at Emily Martinez Official on Instagram, and Emily Martinez Entertainer on YouTube. But most importantly, it would help us out greatly if you could download, rate, and leave a gorgeous BB comment on our page. You can literally rate the show every single time you open up the Apple Podcast app. So if you could do that, that'd be splendid. Because I would really love to help more lovely, lonely human beings feel a little less, well, alone out there. Until next time, my friends.